We've all heard about the advice that every personal finance expert talks about, that you need an emergency fund. Yes. Okay. Well, the test of that really occurred this year when we had a global pandemic. So, and people are like, oh yeah, emergency fund. That's a good idea. For some people though, the term emergency can be intimidating. It can be boring. It can be anything but inspiring. And so my next guest has decided to call it something else. Natasha Knox is with PAX Planning and she calls it the Opportunity Fund. She joins me now from Coquitlam, British Columbia to tell us why. Hello there.
Hey, Bruce.
I'm a journalist. Words matter to me. I'm also a former marketer. Words matter to me. Why do you call an emergency fund an opportunity fund?
So I actually call it a contingency and opportunity fund. And you're asking me about the opportunity part of it. And yeah. So that came about in my years of practicing. I've noticed that, and it can be rare, but sometimes there are opportunities that land where people need access to money. It could be to close a real estate deal. It could be to buy into a company. It could be, you know, their employer has decided to pay 50% of their education, but they have to come up with the other 50%, and maybe they don't want to tap into their RRSPs to do it. These little opportunities that come up sort of out of the blue, where you need some money that isn't borrowed. So they're quite rare. So when I call it an opportunity fund, I'm not calling it, I'm not thinking about, you know, like a really great deal on some tickets to Hawaii.
Right? You know, okay, click. All right. Thanks for joining us. Bye-bye.
Yeah. So yeah, I'm not talking about like really great sales or a chance to consume. I'm talking about those opportunities that sort of come up where you have a chance to improve your financial future if only you had some access to cash.
Now, so given the ampersand here, contingency and opportunity fund, can they live in the same account? Because my fear would be, oh, wait, someone, you know, saw that business opportunity, put the entire fund into that opportunity and had nothing left for the contingency of the leaky roof or the failing furnace.
Yeah. So the thing to remember here is that we are talking about a subset of the population that doesn't already have an emergency fund, right? So we are talking about people who, for whatever reason, have not started setting aside money for any purpose. So, you know, for people who have a well-funded emergency fund or rainy day fund or however, whatever terminology lives in their head, this doesn't necessarily apply to them. This is designed for people who are struggling to set aside money for any purpose. So that there's a little bit of a difference there. And yes, actually, it would tend to be a little bit bigger so that the entire amount doesn't get drained. But the reality is that if an emergency or a curveball or a contingency comes up, that's going to get drained. You know, like, so when you tap into those funds, they get used and have to be built up again.
Funny that. Same thing happens when I go into a bag of cookies. Like, I eat half the bag and then I go to get my next cookie and I'm like, where is half the bag of cookies? It's gone.
Right?
Completely unacceptable. Why is this not automatically replenished?
Exactly.
Period. I want to ask you about a question that I get a lot, which is, people often talk about the rule of thumb in terms of number of months of net income is one thing. What advice do you have for people on calculating what is the right amount for them? Because anytime you say a year, people are like, well, that's never going to happen. It's never going to happen. And so they don't even get started. So how do you think about that rule of thumb?
Okay. So I think that rule of thumb is usually tied to disability and when it kicks in. So a lot of disability plans kick in after 90 days. And so that's sort of where the 3 months came from originally, I think. It could be up to 6 months for some people. So it really depends on a person's specific situation. So a person who, let's say, is tenured or has a lot of seniority or a lot of job security and a lot of protections and insurance and does have a lot of risks, three months might actually be a suitable amount. Someone who is perhaps self-employed or seasonally employed or has some other risks, perhaps they have a lot of rental properties. You know, if you get a couple of tenants that aren't paying all at the same time, that could quickly drain your resources. So it really depends. But the thing is to get started.
Yeah, get started. And I guess you that's the next question is, people have such a hard time. What would be two or three behavioral changes that would support the creation and funding of this contingency and opportunity fund?
Okay, so I think the thing is to get in touch with that future self. So I think a lot of what is going on is some temporal discounting and availability bias that sort of merges together. Plus there may be, you know, trauma or different things that cause people not to want to think about the future. You know, maybe just connect with that future self just a year in advance and think about what that person and how much they would appreciate even just 1 month of savings in the bank.
Yeah, it is. You know? And I love that you referenced the temporal dynamic, basically the idea that we have a very difficult time doing the mental math of today versus the future. Our brains just are terrible at it.
Yeah. Yeah. And we value the now far, far more than, you know, a dollar now is worth far, far more to most people than a dollar in 30 days or a dollar in.
Or even a dollar 20 or a dollar 30, a return that would be, you know, unimaginable, but our brains can't calculate it. Listen, I really appreciate you coming and talking to us. It is so important for Canadians to have some sort of financial backstop, if it is a emergency fund, a contingency and opportunities fund, or even at worst, a line of credit at a low rate of interest, something so that if they are in a circumstance where they don't have money coming in, they are protected. Thank you for your time, Natasha.
Thank you for having me on, Bruce.
Natasha Knox joined us from Coquitlam, BC. She's with PAX Planning, and our focus was on the rebrand of the emergency fund to an opportunity fund.